Master, oh, grant us fresh oil today. Let the anointing and the power and the glory of your love and your presence and your anointing break every yoke of bondage here. As your word goes forth to each and every one here, that by the stripes of Jesus they be made whole. Open eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive what your Spirit says. As we repent for every word, thought, and deed we've done that's offended you. Washing us with the blood, purging us with your presence, filling us that we may be one with you. As we welcome the Holy Spirit, Master Teacher, Comforter, Friend, Spirit of the Living God, the Spirit of Christ to come, to not only dwell with us, but in us and through us, and bring us to another level that we can kick more butt of devil. And to Jesus be all the glory. And everybody said amen? How many of y'all going through stuff here? Oh, you're blessed. See, if you're going through things, you're blessed. You know, we had a powerful little meeting Saturday morning, and one of the things that the Lord brought to us is about the arena of being blessed. You know, everybody wants to be blessed, but nobody's willing to pay the price to be blessed. So they bring a self-imposed blessing, and it usually ends up causing them to stumble. Hello. But see, when you are blessed, that means all of heaven is behind you. When you are blessed, all of heaven is behind you. Of course, when you are cursed, you know all of hell is behind you, right? And in Psalm 1:1, the Lord gives us the guidelines of being blessed. He says, first of all, don't take ungodly counsel. The second thing is don't be unevenly yoked with sinners. And the third thing is watch what comes out of your mouth. Because what you sow is what you reap. And in these areas, those are the guidelines of being blessed. And there is a constant guideline to being blessed. So if you're blessed, all of heaven is behind you. All of heaven. How many of y'all want all of heaven behind you? I'm telling you, what an awesome thing, you know, to know that all of heaven is behind you. And, you know, when you're doing the right things before God and you're in divine order with the Lord, you know that the greatest blessing you can have is to know that you're pleasing Him. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have or how many things you're doing for God, because there's a lot of people doing things for God that God can't trust. Just because they're doing things for God doesn't mean God trusts them. God will use a donkey. He don't care. He'll use anyone to rescue His people. See, there are people wanting to go up but not willing to grow up. So God brings you through a process of growing up to put you in a place to go up. But see, you can't go up unless you grow up. So there's a process He brings us through, isn't there? The first thing is to deny yourself. That's why Jesus gave us a guideline in that. He said, you must first deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Him. Follow Him. So understand this. It's not how much you know, and it's not how much you've done. It's how much He trusts you. That's the ultimate goal for every believer, is to earn the trust of God. Again, I want to share with you. You want all heaven behind you? You want to really be blessed, not because of materialism, not because of things that you've done, not because of anything else, not because how much you know and all the revelations you have. It's to know that all of heaven is behind you, that you are blessed because you know that you are pleasing God. And again, don't take ungodly counsel. Don't be unevenly yoked. And be careful what comes out of your mouth. Is everybody okay? Good. Now let's get going. James 1. James chapter 1. Yes. You know, many years ago, hallelujah, I was in prayer. And I had a vision. And in this vision that I had, I was praying and I was on my knees and the Lord was there in front of me. And the Lord was on His knees. And His arms were stretched to me. And I wanted to come to Him so badly. And I was trying to, and I didn't understand what He was truly saying to me, because there was no words, but there was just an expression through His character. And it was like, I was like, man, something's about to happen. And as he was looking at me, all of a sudden, out of him came a child and walked out of him. And it was me. And I thought, whoa. And I didn't fully understand what was going on. But he shared with me later on in the area of that we are in him. And for us to be like him, we must go through him. Is everybody with me? See, out of him is where he births me and you. But there is a process that we're constantly going through him to become like him. So in James chapter 1 and verse 2, if everybody's there, would you read it with me? It says, my brethren, what? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Not if, but when, right? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. He says, count on all joy and get from him what you need to be like him. Does everybody see this? See, your trials and tribulations are molding you more and more like him. But there's an arena where your trials and tribulations are being established in him and through him. You know, too many people want to run from them instead of run to him. They want to go to the carnal fulfillment. That's where people run to the refrigerator, to the bank account, to the phone instead of the throne. They go out and buy material things for fulfillment, all kinds of other things instead of running. When things begin to happen, the carnal arena causes an individual to run from God instead of to God. Is everybody with me? So you are going to go through things, and we are going through things, and they're not going to get easy. They're going to get harder because you're going deeper in God. Go to John 14. John 14. Everybody say, through him. I'm going through him. To him. To be like him. Yes. And John 14. Start at verse 1. So it says, count it all joy when we go through stuff. Glory. So if you can't count it all joy while you're going through stuff, you're carnal. You're fleshly. You're out of position. And you're running instead of going through. People, there ain't nothing worse than a miserable Christian, right? That's why the Bible says be filled with the Holy Ghost, right? So you can stay drunk so that you're going through stuff, you don't care. Because you're leaning forward, not backward. Hallelujah. And John 14 and verse 1, he says what? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also. In other words, don't let your heart be troubled while you're going through stuff. You know, there's one thing that we must maintain is a God pleaser and not a man pleaser. They'll assist you in going through things. There's too many men pleasers instead of God pleasers, and that what causes their own troubles. In verse 2, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So there's a place being prepared for us. Do you know there's a place being prepared for you right now? Every day there's a place being prepared for you to get into so you can continue to go, continue to grow. Has everybody got it? So God is preparing a place. It's just not one place he's preparing. It's multiple places that he's preparing for you. He continues to prepare a place for you every single day. Every morning you wake up, he's got a place for you. He's got a place for you. He's got a place for you. Every day there's a place for you till you hit the ultimate place. But you got to get to that place every day. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. Now, this is powerful. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am. I am. In other words, he was signifying himself as the I am who came into the flesh. And there's no way that no one's getting to dad except for through dad. He said, I am. So I want you to be like me. So there's a process you're going to have to go through. You're going to have to go through the way. You're going to have to go through the truth. And you're going to have to go through the life to get to true life and eternal life. And then the next verse, he confirms it and he says something very, very, very powerful. Does anybody know what he says? He says what? No one comes to the Father except for through me. So I want you to understand that we are going through him to be like him. You are going through him to be like him. He says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. See, so the only way to the Father is through the Son, but the Father became. He was an extension. The Son was an extension of the Father so that you can go through him to be like him. Is everybody with me? Oh, to God be the glory. So we're not to be troubled. He is the way, truth, and life. And as you go through him, you become like him. This is the purpose and goal of God Almighty, to have offsprings like himself. Offsprings like himself. So we see that when Jesus, when they asked Jesus about, when Jesus said this temple will be destroyed and I'll raise it in 3 days, they freaked out. He said, I'm the way, truth, and life. In other words, that is also the chambers, the three chambers of the tabernacle. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. So we're actually going through that process, aren't we? We're going through Jesus. We're going through God to be like him. We're being trained up to be like him. We're going through him. The end result is to become his offspring. Until you get through him, are you understanding? See, until you get through him, you have fulfilled the offspring. That's why many people who are going through him run away from him. They don't make it all the way to the end. Many fall. Many go the opposite way. See, but if you begin to look at the tabernacles, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place, that's what we're going through. Some people never even make it out of the outer court. They're still hanging out in the outer court, never getting in the holy place and fulfilling their priesthood, never getting in the most holy place and being filled with the Spirit. They're still hanging out in the outer court. And there are things that prevent an individual from going all the way in. We'll talk about those in a minute. Go to Acts 17. Remember, you're going through him to be like him. Acts 17. Verse 26. Acts 17, verse 26. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each and every one of us. For in him we live, move, and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offsprings. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So understand, I mean, this is powerful. So we live, move, and have our being in him and through him, because we're becoming more like him. Now it says that he is going to judge the world. Right now we know that there's chaos going on. There's perilous times, isn't there? We know there's a escalation of wickedness that's rising. There's a lot of escalation of stupidity that's rising too. I mean, you know, hallelujah. We might as well put 3-year-olds into the offices of government. I think they could run it better. But anyways, Praise God. God's got a plan, though, doesn't he? Everything is all for fulfillment of prophecies. Everything is being fulfilled according to the scriptures. So we've got to look beyond what's happening and take what's happening in an arena and begin to compare it spiritually with the scriptures and what's going on in our life. So we live and breathe and have our being. We are in him. But chaos is at hand and judgment is coming because we are in perilous times right now. So if we are in perilous times right now, one of the things that God is trying to do is bring his children deeper. Deeper. He's trying to get them out of the outer court. He's trying to bring them deeper during this perilous times. In fact, the Bible says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall be protected, right? So he's trying to bring the body of Christ deeper into the Spirit, deeper into him during these perilous times. There's going to have to be changes in lives. You know, the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, but I'm telling you, it's not coming to individuals that are out of line and not in divine order. And in this, you're going to find that God is going to change a lot of things where we can't be caught up in traditional things. He's going to change job menus. He's going to change careers. He's going to change all kinds of things for you to be in position to prosper. Because we are going from provision to abundance. The world is going in the opposite way. We're going from provision to abundance. The world is going from abundance to lack. And your light will shine. Colossians 1. So we must go through him to become like him. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Good. Because everybody will be tested on it. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 15, would you read it with me? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Through him and for him. So everything, the whole universe, is created through him and for him, so that he might have offsprings. Hallelujah. What an honor and a blessing. Praise God. Let's go a little further. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated, enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through the death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if, that means you have a choice. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now that's powerful. All things are created in him and through him and for him. The eternal purpose of God, again, is that to go through him, to be like him, to continue in the faith and go deeper during these perilous times. The eternal purpose is so that we become more like him. So everybody got it? More like. So sometimes, you know, people go, well, why did God create the universe? Why did he create all the, why? To have offsprings. Hello? To what? Have offsprings. He didn't have to create anything, did he? But this is what he chose, to have offsprings. And you and I are his offsprings. What an honor. So when you pull in a parking place, somebody tells you to move, you just tell them your dad owns it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we are going through him to be like him. No one comes to the Father except for through the Son. And there's a process that you and I are going through. In verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to them through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, to what? Deep things of God. So is he trying to bring the deep things to you? Yes, the reason why he's trying to bring deep things to you is to bring you deeper, to come out of the outer court. Because we are in perilous times and we must get deeper in God. Because many will be deceived. The Bible says in the latter days, many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving and seducing spirits. They will fall from the faith. Perilous times are here. They'll become lovers of men, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure. Untrusting. Faithless. I mean, there's all kind. We are in perilous times right now, and we must get deeper. It's like a bomb shelter, you know? You get deeper in God while everything else is exploding, and you're rescued and you're safe because you're in God. And being in God is being blessed. See, when you're truly in the place where he wants you to be, you're blessed and all heaven is behind you. And when all heaven is behind you, it's an awesome thing. That's where what you touch shall prosper, but you got to touch what God wants you to touch. You got to be where God wants you to be. Unless, you know, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. And there's a lot of vain building going on right now. Much vain building, because people are wanting to go up instead of grow up. Much vain building. Trying to do a third floor ministry on a first floor foundation. Doesn't work. It always collapses. Moving out instead of being sent out. Is everybody okay? So God wants to bring us deeper. Go to verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for what? The Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, let me share with you. The natural man is still in the outer court. Are you listening? The natural man is still in the outer court. And there are things where people are of the body of Christ, they're still in the outer court because they're still associating and trying to calculate things carnally. They're untrusting. They have a form of godliness. They can preach, they can teach, but they can't be trusted because they are still carnal. Are you listening? And God wants to bring us deeper. We must get deeper during these perilous times because things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. But they're going to get better for those who are willing to go deeper and go through him. Did you ever see a child go in the water? You know, they put those floaties. You know, come on, when we were kids, or when we were kids, what am I talking about, last summer? you know, you go dive in the water, you know, and everybody go, yeah, I'm going to go touch the drain down there, you know, in the deep part. You'll go touch the drain. But if you carry a floaty on you, you can kick and go down. And if you're carrying something, you know, one of those things that go around here, you got to be careful because if it hits you in a certain place, you flip over and your legs will be up in the air and you'll be drowning. But you can't get deeper. See, so these floaties prevent an individual from actually touching the drain. Are you listening? And these are areas that is outer court because the floaties are a security to them. Man becomes a security to them. Things of the world become a security to them. And those things must be removed so that there's no more security of anything but him. Your job, your talent, your abilities, your bank account, your friends, your spouses, your children. You can have no other security but him. Anything else is insecurity. Has everybody got it? So, see, there's an area. I remember when my daughter, when we brought her to learn how to swim, you know, it's amazing how kids, babies, you throw them in the water and they'll try to roll over. You know, so when Lissy was going to, how old was she when she went to swim? 6 months. She was 6 months. And man, let me tell you, Kate had to take her because I couldn't take it. I wanted to dive in the water and rescue her every time. You ain't doing that to my kid, you little flesh creature. So every time, you know, they were teaching her how to swim because we were concerned. I mean, it was for her best interest because, you know, there's a lot of water in Florida. And there's pools. And if she ever went somewhere or something, we wanted to make sure that she could at least float. So a six-month-old, they would teach how to float. They would turn over and float and hope that someone will eventually see them and rescue them. See, so she couldn't go deeper, but there was a certain area of security that she knew that was implanted in her and that was trained to her. But see, you and I were born and trained in areas of securities, but most of them were actually insecurities. They were false securities. There was never the true security in the Lord. It was security in everything else. And those are floaties. Is everybody with me? Floaties. And we need to come out of that arena and start taking off these floaties. How many of y'all know fear is a floaty? Fear. The enemy can snag you with fear. You can't go deep in God. It's impossible. You got a floaty. How about lust? Hello. How about pride? Yeah. How about accursed items? Yeah. People don't even realize it. Cursed items. How about false visions? You know, in this time, in perilous times, we're seeing so many things that are happening. You know, the Lord says that if you allow him to build on his way, you'll be on solid ground. Anything else that's built any other way is sinking sand, right? I mean, we have that old song. I actually never sang it, but I heard it. Praise God. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm not attached to the old rugged cross. Praise God. I'm attached to the Spirit of living God. But I was birthed from the cross, but born again in the Spirit. And there's a difference. But it's time to take off all the floaties so that we can get deeper. So you and I are going through God. We're going through the tabernacle. We're going through God to be more like him. We're going through Christ. So now you know why you're going through. You've got to go through. You can't run out. And let me tell you, there is no side door. There's no window you can open up to jump out of the tabernacle. There's one way in and one way out. How about offense? Is that a floaty? How about bitterness? How about regret? Oh, all of these are floaties. How about anything else? How about me, myself, and I? So the Lord is trying to make a way of escape during these perilous times, isn't he? He's trying to make a way of escape during the perilous times and bring abundance to you at the same time. So you're going through him to become like him. Did Jesus lack anything? No. Not a thing. Didn't lack anything. He did what he was supposed to do and went home. So right now, the Lord is preparing a place for you to get to. And when you get to that place, he prepares another. But he doesn't prepare another place until you get to the first one. Has everybody got it? So he's constantly preparing a place for me and you to get to every day. And you don't even realize it. But every day, there is some kind of resistance from the enemy. Every day, there'll be resistance. There isn't a day you're going to wake up and just go, oh, I'm going to tiptoe through the tulips, you know. No. Every day you wake up, there is resistance in somehow. There's resistance to do the will of God. There's resistance to press in. Not everybody wakes up and wants to pray. Not everybody wants to go to service and worship God. And don't get religious on me. Everybody must fight. And without a fight, you become a casualty. If you're not a fighter, if you're not in the battle, you end up a casualty. And we have a teaching on that too. So you and I are going through him to become like him. Let's go a little further. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 16. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him. Hello. If you suffer with him. If you suffer with him. You know what your suffering is? Denying yourself. That's your suffering. It's not a sacrifice. It's a suffering. You are to sacrifice yourself. But the suffering is to maintain denying yourself. You know, I mean, listen. There are things that your flesh is looking for fulfillment. There are things that we want to do. But we know it's not time to do. Because see, if it's not God's time, it's not God's will. You know, too many people go out and they want to bless themselves and call the blessing of God. But it's not. Because if it's not God's will, it's not God's blessing. Even if you inherit $1 million, he's not saying go out and just spend it. You must go to him and ask him what you're to do with it. Anything you're blessed with, you must ask him what to do with it. Or that blessing will become a curse. See, too many people take it for granted. You and I do not live that way. The Bible says you and I don't have a life. Our life is in him. We are going through him to become like him. In verse 18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be what? Compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Hallelujah. So even all creation is waiting for the revealing for you to be more like him. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So even we ourselves are groaning, but these groanings that you and I are going through is a part of the sufferings. They're called growing pains. They're growing pains. Why? Because as you're going through things, you're going through him, you're becoming like him. But you can't fulfill those growing pains by buying materialism, by lust, by drugs, by alcohol, by anything else. There is no Holy Ghost Advil. Hello. These are spiritual groanings that you must go through. The only way that you will be fulfilled is to grab hold of the King. Because this is where he is your healer. Groaning because of the... Now listen to this. And these groanings are because the universal arena that evil and righteous must meet the climax of the Lord's return. Everything is going to come to a climax for his return. The groanings are because the universe arena, in the universal arena, that the evil and righteousness must meet the climax of the Lord's return. So we are groaning. Is everybody with me? Philippians 3. That's why the earth is growing. It's bound. It's in bondage. It wants to be set free, but it wants to be set free into the hands of the children of God, sons of God. Philippians 3. So you are going through him to what? Be like him. In verse 11, Philippians 3, 7, I'm sorry. Let's read it together. But what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And be what? And be what? Be found in him. Wow. You want to be found in him. That means you're going through him to become like him and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So we want to be found in him. Go to Romans 13. Now who's going to try to resist you from being found in him? The powers of darkness. Because you're not fighting flesh and blood. And until the unseen becomes more seen to you, you'll always be deceived. In Romans 13, verse 11. Would you read it with me? And do this, knowing that the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust, its desires, or to run out from God. You're going through him to become like him. There are trials. There are perilous times here. They're going to get worse. He's trying to bring us deeper to not only protect us, but to prosper us. Is everybody with me? Anybody with me? Cool. Ephesians 2. So why was the universe created? To produce offsprings. Hallelujah. See, when you got all heaven behind you, the world calls it spoiled. You a spoiled kid of God. I'm spoiled. But praise God. We're spoiled. But we're actually blessed, aren't we? Because all of heaven is behind us if you're in divine order. If you're going through him to be like him. See, the world doesn't get that, do they? They don't get it. And they can't get it because they're carnal. But you carry it within you. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were what? Near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. There's only one Spirit, man. Only one. He's called the Holy Spirit. There's only one Spirit. I don't care what channel you go to. There's only one Spirit. I don't care what tarot card is out there. I don't care what medium is out there. I don't care what psychic is out there. They are not the right spirit. I don't care if you pick up the newspaper and you read a horoscope. You picked up the wrong spirit. If you're at a Chinese restaurant and you need read the fortune cookie, you have picked up the wrong spirit. Are you listening? There is only one spirit to the Father, not through a cookie. It's through the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together for what? Dwelling place of God. Where? In the Spirit. Wow, because you are in him and you want to be found in him. That's why you're going through him to become like him. And we're going to close at Romans 1. Romans 1. Two simple verses. 1 through 40. No. Verses 5 and 6. Let's read this together. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called. You are called of Jesus Christ. So you are the called of who? Jesus Christ. You are the called. You are the witness. You are going through him to become like him. The universe was created that God's eternal purpose would have offsprings. We must get rid of the floaties so you can go deeper and be protected, because he's making a way of escape and prosper. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways and commit to him your work so he can establish your thoughts and your steps. If it's not God's time, it's not God's will. Amen. And you'll know the door by its fruit, won't you? Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? See, many people right now they're being scattered in the area of, they're looking for an arena of escape, but they're escaping in the wrong direction. And if they're still carrying floaties, you know that they can't go to the right place. It's impossible. Because you must get deeper. Deeper. And that's what he's calling the body to do. Become deeper right now. Is everybody okay? Y'all got it? Praise God. Father, we give you all a glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for the price. We thank you for bringing us through. And I pray, Lord, that everybody will be found in you in every area of our lives. We ask for your forgiveness in any area where we're still carrying floaties. Help us to see those floaties, Lord, and deflate them so that we can get deeper in you and not be moved by anything else, but only by your Spirit, that we may go deeper and have all of heaven behind us, knowing that we are called of Jesus Christ, the blessed and the offspring of the Anointed One and his anointing, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.